I have been watching it as carefully as I can because I write for a local newspaper and I've just written a column on what's been happening. And it certainly is, in one sense, unexpected because up to now they've managed to avoid being coming involved like so many other countries in the region. Now they seem to be deeply into it and it's come about really rather quickly.
Would sub-Saharan countries be watching the situation closely there?
I think so. One of our more prominent commentators here has opined in one of the major newspapers, Business Day, that South Africa could soon have its own Tunisia moment. Now, this doesn't refer to Libya, but it refers to the whole situation. Because in South Africa, we have some of the similar problems that the Arab countries have. We have a great deal of poverty and a great deal of wealth in the same country. To start with, there's a lot of discontent about local service delivery. And in the last few days, we've had riots in a particular small town in the east of the country called Wesselton, where the local population have expressed dissatisfaction about the service they get from the government, from the local authorities, and also about the candidates who will be standing later this year, about May, I think, in a local government election. And they feel that the candidates are being imposed on them from above, and they are not being consulted. So they have taken to the streets, and there's been rioting, and I think a couple of people have been killed. So although it's not on the same scale to any extent as the ones in North Africa, you have some of the same sort of characteristics at play here, that ordinary people are fed up with governance, and they're taking to the streets to show their dissatisfaction.
Now, Muammar Gaddafi, Libya's long-time ruler, has often tried to involve himself in sub-Saharan issues as part of the AU, and he's also called for, I believe, a United States of Africa. How influential has he been on the lower part of the continent?
I don't think he has been particularly at all. In fact, our former president, Thabo Mbeki, was very strongly opposed to this idea. There's the sort of pan-Africanist sense that you should have a closer union in Africa, but he certainly didn't agree to the idea of a United States, a single government for the whole of Africa, which was Gaddafi's idea. And my own summing up of this thing is why African leaders are not in favor of this is who gets the big car, to sum it up in one sentence. If you have one president of Africa, what happens to all the other 53 who don't happen to become heads of state? They lose all their perks. And, of course, none of them are going to agree to that.
You had mentioned some of the protests that have recently gone on in South Africa. But those are generally secular issues, you know, issues that are affecting unemployment, etc. In these North African countries, there might be a religious aspect as well. Does that religious aspect at all play in sub-Saharan countries that might be dissatisfied with their rulers, for example?
I don't believe so. I mean, the one possible exception is Cote d'Ivoire, where you have a northern section which is Muslim and the southern section which is Christian and animist. But I think generally speaking, it's not an issue. It's certainly not an issue in southern Africa. You know, South Africa has freedom of religion. It's a secular state. And we have the lowest level of anti-Semitism in the world, allegedly, even though we have a large Muslim community here. So there is a great deal of tolerance on religious grounds in southern Africa. Now, I'm not as well versed in the situation in West Africa, where there are a large number of Muslim-orientated states, certainly immediately sub-Saharan. So it may play out differently there, but certainly not in this part of the continent.